podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
You know, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running
are
in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talk about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, BuildTheScene.com/radio, RootaRooRadio.com, AltRockRadio.ca, formerly Denko Radio, that's Alt Rock Radio Canada. I feel like I forgot one, but we'll go with that for now. Oh, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri. It's the big one. My name is Bill. This is episode number 460 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show, and with me tonight are the guys from Feast on the Fallen. What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, what's up?
Hello. Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, why don't you take a moment and introduce yourselves and tell us what you do for the band? And I know I kind of left that open ended. We'll see how what you come up with.
All right. Cool. Well, I'm Steve. I play lead guitar and rhythm guitar.
I'm Randy. I do vocals.
I'm Patrick. I play drums and
I'm Kareem. I play bass.
See, I left that wide open for you guys to like take shots at each other and anything, and you were all vanilla.
I knock over bass monitors.
Yeah, I make good jokes that nobody appreciates. I do that too.
All right, so we're going to start off with the very plain Jane question of where did your band name come from? And you know, that's like the normal radio question, and then we'll get the harder ones after that.
Well, they came from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Feasting on the Fallen.
So, yeah, we've always been like super into like horror movies and all that kind of stuff. And then actually the actual name comes from a trading card game called Magic the Gathering.
I've heard that. Once.
Are you familiar?
Yes, I played it one time.
Nice.
I also played D&D
he
once.
He said never again.
It was overly complicated for a card game for me.
Oh yeah. It's basically chess with like, you know, little creatures running around.
Hey. So that was actually a much more simple question than answer than I expected.
Oh yeah, it's so simple.
Yeah. All right, so now I'm going to give you guys a chance to really give a behind the scenes look into the band, and I'm looking for you, and each of you could do this if you can do it short. Do it as a short story. To tell me an embarrassing story about something that happened either on stage, on your way to the stage, or after being on stage. And you could tell me one about someone else in the band. So
yeah, we have too many of those.
So how did Randy embarrass you guys?
Oh, boy.
Freaking. His, what? Not Homer. But his Simpsons, Bart Simpson screams from the stage.
Wait, what?
Then whenever he cuts himself and has blood, you know, gurgling out of his finger, it's always fun too.
Yeah. It was at we played Gooskies last year, and Pat ended up forgetting his drum throne.
So yeah, of course.
Yeah. We were using the one that the other band had, and I wasn't even paying attention to what
it was so jank, like the way it was held together, it was terrible.
It was held together by an Allen wrench,
an Allen key slid through the holes in the side of it because the whole chair was just like missing parts.
I was sitting on it because I was just, you know, playing around on Pat's drums, and I was like, oh, let me adjust my seat real quick, and I lifted up, and then the Allen key fell out, and then the entire thing went down on my finger. I thought I cut my finger off, and I looked at it, and I was like,
got it pretty good,
oh, it was terrible. And I played the entire set and the rest of the night with like all these paper towels wrapped around my hand because I'm bleeding profusely. I almost died.
I guess I'll tell the story about we were playing a gig and I was a little bit hungry, so I said, hey, is there anything to eat in this bar, because they closed the kitchen, and they gave me like a bag of, it was either like chips or cookies, I don't remember specifically what it was. I started eating them, and there's this band, Everyone Hates Everything, and then the lead singer comes up, and then he starts eating the cookies while he's playing too. He's like, "Hey, man, this is good. Thanks." And then because of that, he started talking to us, and it was just kind of funny, just randomly, that I was hungry, and then that sparked a conversation between me and the lead singer of another band and then the rest of our band.
Yeah, then they started calling us Feast on the Cookies.
That's true.
That might need to be the title of the episode.
Feast on the Cookies.
Good.
Yeah, the other memorable part of that was Kareem come to the show like in his formal business suit, navy blue scarf on. That was like 9 feet long. It looked like Lenny Kravitz. We're like, we're brutal, hardcore, heavy metal, and he's like there with his blue scarf, munching on cookies.
Dude, that was hilarious.
Scarf's metal.
I guess another good one is whenever we rolled up to Skatetopia last year.
Oh, that was a freak show.
We didn't know
what was like culture shock.
And we roll up and there's all these like just junked cars like sitting all over the place, and we're like asking this other band where to go. They're like, "Oh, just drive to the top of the hill." And so we did, and it wasn't even a road. It was like
a four wheeler pass, and we had to drive that big van up that.
That was terrible.
Remember they had that runoff for the water, and they just had like some cement slabs like thrown over.
He's like, "Oh, just drive over." Like, what?
Like, this is a little sketchy.
But and right. As we're driving up the hill, all these people kept coming up to us, you know, as we wind down the windows, and they're just like, "You guys got acid? What's
like,
in the
No?"
They're like trying to peek in the back of the van, see what we had with us. That was pretty weird. We were just like, what did we get ourselves into? Then we get up to that parking lot, remember, and there's like a burned up car there.
Oh yeah,
everyone standing around. We're like,
car.
You know,
yeah.
This isn't the first time I've heard this story.
I'm not surprised.
I'm trying to remember what other band told it to me. same place, cool. Same story.
Yep. Wow,
this place, dude, fun, very fun. Just
yeah.
My God,
what exactly like?
Lock your doors,
like on MTV. Yeah.
All right, so. What do you guys believe to be the biggest strength of Feast on the Fallen?
That's a good question.
I think, personally, I think that we're all pretty pretty sociable. Like, whenever we talk to people, like, after our set or after their set, I feel like we can make connections pretty well. And I think that's something that really shows when it goes to, like, future booking or recording with other people, or you know, touring, different stuff like that.
It definitely helps to network.
Yes,
the networking will get you everywhere. Literally. Okay,
yeah,
so,
I'd say within the band of all members, we're all you know, friends outside. No, I feel like that helps. You know,
yeah,
because a lot of bands, they just kind of go through the mess. So that's another strength. Definitely. Right.
Yeah, we all like hang out and everything. We never get into like arguments or anything like that. So,
were you friends before the band?
Pat and I were. And Steven,
I was friends with Kareem, and then Kareem and Pat were friends.
Yeah.
Feast on the Fallen gets to headline their first world tour. What bands are you going to bring along in support?
Ooh.
We're
headlining world tour.
Say that again.
We're headlining the world tour.
You are.
Mm-hmm. Can we bring back bands that are no longer there?
I've managed to get bands to come out and play that aren't together again. So maybe.
I mean, like bands that may not be alive.
Oh well, I did have a band that coincidentally I'm playing on tonight's show. Diesel Beast from Texas. They said.
Okay.
I asked them who they would like to play with and where, and they told me that they wanted to play with Dio at Stonehenge.
Good choice.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So I told them maybe that's what Stonehenge is there for. It's there to resurrect Dio. So, yeah, go ahead.
I would want to get a hologram of Lemmy and then tour with Motorhead. Local wise,
yeah,
we're bringing Everyone Hates Everything.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Definitely.
Nine-stitch
throw in. Yeah, we'll bring in Nine-Stitch Method. We'll throw in who else are we gonna throw in? Eternal Sleep.
Yeah.
Cro-Mags.
Yeah, we gotta have them.
Cro-Mags. I don't know. Who else?
Can we resurrect Pantera while we're at it?
So we can throw Code Orange on there. They're also locals, I guess.
Code Orange. We'll make it a full Pittsburgh band.
Oh, yeah.
I think
that's a pretty good lineup. I do. Might have like one weird act, like Gilbert Gottfried or something like that.
Just throw something.
I have it. Oh man, I lost the spider. I don't know where it went.
Oh no! Get the hairspray and the lighter.
Go full Motley Crue on that.
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
So a lot. I've seen a lot of flyers recently that have like five or six bands, and then they'll say, and also featuring, and then they list comedians.
I've seen that too. It's like. It's strange, but I mean, hey, if it works, it works.
Yeah, like Jim Jefferies opened up for Metallica, I think, or something.
Dean Del Rey opened up for Alice in Chains.
Weird, yeah.
That's an interesting dynamic, like to bring like both of that, because you get both crowds, and then some people who were there for both acts, you know?
Right.
And it's got to be easy touring-wise. They can just take the comedian in their bus.
Yeah.
You know, help them out.
It's like if you had them in between bands playing stuff like that, like they could just put the big drop sheet, move everything around, and then you wouldn't have, you know, you could set everything up and like have like big stage setups, you know, while he's talking in between, you know.
So everybody just be cracking up the whole time, like backstage listening. Yeah. And then you go on stage and you're just giddy.
Hey, so I'm glad you mentioned the bus, because let's talk about it. You're on that headlining tour and you're on the bus. And if I was with you, what bands would be on the radio for that trip?
God.
Willie Walker Jr.
8-bit music. Like
it's such an array of music. It's
what was it, Down with the Sickness one?
Down with the Sickness?
Just listen to it.
Wait. I have a story about that.
Down with the Dingus.
Down with the Dingus. Or the singing cowboy that's like 18 minutes long or 18 hours long, rather.
So
we
down
just
with
try
the
to
sickness?
Drive each other crazy, but that's all.
So Down with the Sickness, my wife absolutely hates that song, and for Christmas she bought a bunch of Alexas for the house. So when I'm trying to get her attention or I'm mad at her, I tell her to play that song. Everywhere. So it's playing throughout the house.
I'm living in personal hell.
Yeah, she doesn't like that too much. In fact,
she might like Down with the Dingus better.
Yeah, dude, Down with the Dingus next time.
The last time I did it, she removed the play everywhere option off of Alexa.
That's funny.
But yeah, man. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, like Dance Gavin Dance. I know you always put them on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I listened to that entire life. Lots of
Under Oath, Devil Wears Prada, we'll even get older, Bob Seger, Kiss, Motley Crue.
Oh, yeah. A lot of crew, that's for sure. But yeah, we have this weird obsession with 8-bit songs, like I said before, like the old like Nintendo like kind of stuff. There'll be like Dragon Force and like Slayer and like all sorts of stuff, and it's so awesome.
yeah, it's crazy.
Or we also play Bob and Bev. That's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
Drinking Bud.
How would you even describe that?
I don't even know.
Professional lip syncing.
Alcoholic mullets.
North Carolina.
Okay. Okay. Last question for this segment. What is your song Boneyard about?
bones in a yard.
Okay, so that was like my classic fourth grade answer there. What's this word mean? Well, it means this, and it's the two words that make it up.
Boneyard is something.
But I'm pretty sure it's about genocide.
Yeah, it's something like I kind of like scribbled down, and we wanted to make it like just like one of the heaviest songs ever, and lyric wise, it's really really just about like it's like a horror story, you know? It's like, you know how Cannibal Corpse writes all their stuff, like it's like a mini horror film. That's basically what Boneyard's all about. It's just a little story about a dude who gets murdered and then you know, buries the victim.
Oh, yeah. It's very, this is just very... a song about a slasher.
Yeah.
I mean, basically.
I guess you could find some deeper, like, political meaningness behind it if you really look into it. But in actuality, we didn't really think that through.
So that really, I mean, it really kind of lines up with the band that I'm pairing up with you guys for this short break we're going to take. So what we're going to do next, we're going to hear Boneyard by Feast on the Fallen, and we're also going to hear Formaldehyde by Leprosy. And if you're not familiar with Leprosy, you'll understand why I said it kind of go well together. And we'll be back with some more questions for Feast on the Fallen. And I forgot to mention the bands you already heard. We opened the show up with Cage, who are no longer together, but their song Rise Up. And keeping along those that theme, we also heard Hollow from the band Among Thorns, and they actually broke up recently. So our first two tracks are from bands that aren't together anymore, but you can find them online still. It's Cage, K-A-J, and Among Thorns. And once again, you're going to hear Boneyard and Formaldehyde, and we'll be right back. Okay, that was Formaldehyde by Leprosy, and right before that, you heard from the gentlemen that are with me now in their song Boneyard. It's the guys from Feast on the Fallen. I have probably five more questions for them. This next one gives you guys a chance to pick pretty much any band you'd like to be in.
Ooh.
So if you could live the movie Rockstar, which band would you want to join?
I'm not going first on this one. I got to think.
Yeah, this is hard.
I know what I would do. Be Black Label Society. I'd want to be down the crowd and have Zach just reach down, pull me up, hand me his guitar, and be like, take it away. And I just sit there with the guitar like on my shoulder, behind my neck, just doing solos, just ripping it. And he'd just be like spraying me in beer.
I can see it, man.
Yeah. I can definitely see it.
Okay, I know. I would probably, if it's possible, in some crazy universe, want to take the place of Howard and Killswitch Engage before Jesse Leach came back, and then do just some horrible stuff with them.
I thought you were going to say Imagine Dragons.
Yeah. Lightning and the Thunder.
Hey, what about you, Pat?
I don't know. It's like, I always thought it'd be cool doing the whole Tommy Lee, you know, crazy spinning drum set type stuff. Like, I felt like that, you know, that was always something cool. I don't know. Honestly, I can't think of anything really.
I would choose the Beach Boys because they still, to this day, tour. They have been one of the longest touring bands of all time. And it would be funny just to have like some 25-year-old weirdo jamming out with the Beach Boys.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were older?
Exactly. I would throw in that metal aspect and all the people in the crowd would be like, oh no, my heart.
There's music. Oh, that'd be like gone crazy.
In all seriousness, probably Slipknot. I think that would probably be my choice.
Yeah.
But would you want to join them right now? Kind of in the middle of something.
Yeah, not right now, but like.
Yeah, definitely like.
You could join and hit the trash can.
Yeah. Not right now, but like in the Iowa era, like around there.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
that would have been wild.
Would you push your fingers into your eyes?
You gotta keep that stuff under 30 seconds.
Yeah, we're not trying to get copyright here, huh?
Okay, so let's talk about the music scene for a moment. If you could change one thing about the scene, each of you, what would you want to see change?
Maybe have more venues.
Yeah. Personally, I think I don't know, this is gonna be like hard to describe, but in general, just getting more people out to all kinds of shows. Like, I have this weird thought that, like, you know, before my time in the music, like, you know, in the 90s, the 80s, the only way to get into new bands was to go to your local shows. Now, in the internet era, you can just look up any band and just be like, what do I need to go to shows for? I got all the music right at my fingertips right here. I can find anybody in the world.
Or tune into a podcast. Or
yes.
Right. Yeah.
As I roll my eyes.
So, I would love, and actually the mayor of Pittsburgh did mention this, and I agree with him, if it were possible for people in the scene in Pittsburgh to make a living out of it. I'm not just talking the big, big, big man. I'm just saying someone who starts to get a little bit of notoriety. They could actually make a decent living from that. That would be amazing, because then they could put most of their time into doing whatever they need to do, getting better equipment, promoting, or just building a bigger following.
Yeah, I remember.
I feel like that answer right there could be a whole show by itself.
Oh,
yeah. Sure.
Maybe I'll have to do that.
That'd be nice. Man,
that means I'll have to start another podcast. I already have two. That other show, by the way, is called Three Questions and a Song. That's exactly what it is. You get asked three questions and talk about a song, and then we play the song. It's very simple.
Cool.
But that's not just Pennsylvania. It's anybody, anywhere, any genre. So if you are listening to this show and you would like to be on that show, you can contact me as well. And if you want to be on this show or that show, it's Bill at buildthescene.com. Okay, there. I advertised for myself. What else would you guys like to change about the scene?
I don't know. It's like, I feel like sometimes too, it's like there's tends to be like a click with certain like types of bands, and then they never really branch out other than playing with those five bands that they're all friends with, and every show ends up being like the same couple of bands and everything. Like with us, it's like we've played with so many different genres and people, different, you know, states, all kinds of stuff. But like some of the other ones, it seems like they just stick to who they know, and that's it, you know?
Yeah. It comes down to like, you know, the Pittsburgh music scene in general. Like you gotta remember to build each other up,
right? And
support each other rather than like, I mean, there's not a whole lot of bands that just like, you know, blow each other off or right. whatever, but it definitely does exist. But the best thing to do is just get along with each other, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's like it can be like frustrating at times though too. Like you see something and it's just like, oh, well, all right then. You know, like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the fact that people will just like stand outside. I feel like you were kind of like with you were going along with the whole like getting more people out to shows and whatnot. Like you came and you paid for a show. Why are you standing outside?
Exactly. You got to support everybody.
Right.
Another thing I noticed with Pittsburgh shows, it's like a big difference depending on where you're at in Pittsburgh. You can be on like the south side and be like Smelling Moose and like those shows, or you can go to Lawrenceville to like Kativa, and it could be like a whole different environment.
Oh yeah,
you know, so or like different bands that play. Like even when we play at Gooskies, it's a whole different. That's the part that blows my mind. Is
yeah, how just
different, how diverse it is.
One thing like to another. Good. Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, it's a good thing. You know, but it is interesting to see that.
Think about the city, though. It's kind of broken up that way.
It is.
Oh yeah,
it is. It's got like
hill. You have the south side. You have the north side. It's not. I'm going to Pittsburgh. No, everybody calls it by different areas.
Yeah. Which food are you going to? What food are you going to eat?
Sasa. Hey, so this next question I actually borrowed from my last three questions in a song guest. And, because the third song... Our third question is always the guest from the last episode asking a question of the next guest. So I'm gonna use this, and I'm actually gonna use it on the next episode of Three Questions in a Song as well. But I shortened it for this one. So what do you guys consider a success as a musician? So like what would make you feel that you've been a success, I guess, is what I'm looking for.
I don't know. I mean, in one way, if I could, I'd say if you can kind of make a living solely off of what your art is, off of your music, you know, that'd be pretty much success, you know, being able to do it on your own terms.
Right.
You know, also.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think that I agree with Steve there. And I also think that, you know, you can consider yourself successful as a musician if, you know, you announce a tour and each city you go to, you have people there specifically to see your band. You know, they may know the lyrics, they may be just getting into you, seeing you for the first time. They're buying your merch. People, you're recognized by people that you don't even know. I think that makes you successful.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I'm glad you brought merch up. Let's take a sidebar for a moment. Earlier in the week, I posted a screenshot of a royalties check that someone got. I don't know if you guys saw that. And it was like $1.32. And the person, and I'm not going to put her real name out, but she is September from the band September Morning.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm familiar.
Yeah, $1.32 was her royalty.
My God.
And she pointed out that, you know, that's why merch is so important, because who gets the money from the merch? The band does.
Yep. Royalties, you're not, this day and age, you're not going to earn anything off. I actually just checked.
Unless it's lot.
Yeah. I just checked our, we go through a little thing called DistroKid to like put our music on like Amazon and iTunes and Spotify and all that stuff. And I haven't checked it in a while. So I just went through and looked, and I think it was like, we have 20 cents right now. I was just like, what?
Yeah.
It's especially the streaming stuff that,
yeah.
And people that aren't into the music don't realize it's like 0.00000000001 for a play.
Right.
Exactly. It's nothing.
So if you want to support a band, the best way to do that is to buy stuff that goes directly to that band.
Right. Right.
So, you know, buy a physical CD, buy off of Bandcamp. You guys have stuff on Bandcamp?
Oh yeah. Oh,
yes,
yeah.
I do.
You know, because I'm pretty sure you get a good percentage from Bandcamp, correct?
Yeah, I think they only take a very small percentage. Like if you buy like our EP for like $5, then we'll end up getting like $4.93 or something like that.
Yeah. So, you know, what I'm saying on this sidebar is, you know, if you want to support them, there are ways to do it. And streaming isn't it.
Right. Unless you're going to sit there
coming from the guy who runs a radio station and podcasts. But, you know, my support is a little different. I have reach that I'm helping you with. Right. Which sounds an awful lot like, you're going to play for, now I'm going to blank on the word I was looking for. You're playing for exposure.
I hate to
say that. And now that I said what I said, I'm like, damn it, I'm saying that.
So here's your pay of 5 exposures. It's like, okay.
Cool, thanks.
All right, so we kind of touched.
I changed order for exposure. You know? Like, it doesn't work for anything else. Why would it work for music?
So we kind of touched a little bit on the next question, which is how can my listeners get a copy of No Saviors?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you can find that, like I mentioned, on the Bandcamp page. That's feastonthefallen.bandcamp.com. Album No Saviors is right on there, as well as some of our earlier stuff. you can find it on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, Amazon Music, YouTube, Pandora, and anything you could possibly think of. Or you can buy a physical copy on our Big Cartel page,
which coincidentally is linked on the show notes for this page.
Yeah.
So is the Spotify album.
Right on.
Awesome.
Sweet.
So it may only get you a very small portion of a penny, but press play on that while you're checking. And then go buy it.
Yeah.
Last question. You guys have any shows coming up that you want to mention before we go off into the sunset?
What was that noise? yeah, we do have one show next month. We're playing with a band called Filth at Club Radioactive. That's May 25th. That's on a Saturday. We're trying to
Pennsylvania.
Yes, that's up there. So that'll be a really good show. There's a bunch
like
of 15
other minutes from my house.
Hey, come stop up, Bill.
come see us. What day is the 25th?
Saturday.
That's Saturday. Yeah.
Maybe. I've never been there, and I know the owners.
It's a cool venue, honestly. It's really cool. The good people own that place. They have a killer sound system. It's great.
Mark and Allie.
But yeah, we're trying to plan some other stuff out for the summer. we're doing another recording with another band. I can't say too much on it because it's not public yet, but we're doing something. And then yeah, some more shows here and there and some stuff later on in the fall. We're just planning it out right now.
Cool. Yeah. Right, so I want to thank you guys for coming on episode 460.
Thanks for having me.
And the spider didn't get me, so we will have a 460 one, I think.
No Spider-Man.
All right, so real quick, coming up on the Pennsylvania Rock Show on May 3rd, we have Liveberg Studio. On May 10th, I believe we're going to have Sundown. Sundown was a band that I, way back in the 2000s, I did their website. Now I have to play them, right? I definitely need to play them. I'll play them. Man, I'll try and squeeze them in on this one.
There's a good restaurant called Sundog that I know of, too.
Right in Greensboro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then way out on June 7th, I have Across the Dawn coming to the show. So if you would like to play be on the show between May 10th and June 7th, again, drop me an email, bill@billdescene.com. How do people get a hold of you guys before we sign off here?
Normally through Facebook, you can just message us on there. Or we do have an email if you want to be official. It's fotfpa@gmail.com.
All right. So check us out next week and check them out May 25th at Club Radioactive in Katanning. And we will see you next week.
Thanks for having us, Bill.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
It was a good time.
Night, his maybe silent stirs and-